What up? Episode 60. Welcome back. So, today, I want to talk a little bit about comic relief. Yeah, I think that it's the clutch to everyone's mental health when all shit breaks loose, at least in reality. I think there's a at least for me, a couple years ago when I started getting panic attacks, one of the things I did was I cut off news, and I cut off news sources, because reading it sometimes brought up a lot of anxiety. And a point was brought up to me, like, recently, about how there is kind of a discrepancy between ignoring current issues, because if you shut off your phone and ignore everything, things are still going on. So the things that you're anxious about that you just read is still going to keep going on even if you shut off your phone, right? There's a difference between that, being aware of that, and also then kind of being aware of current events, but still managing your stress. Because ideally, panic attacks happen when you get anxiety, obviously, and this anxiety builds up, and you start to get, most of the time, maybe some type of physical, I'll give an example, like a physical indicator of anxiety, right? So sometimes my left arm gets a bit painful, and that for me is very close to what a heart attack at least feels like, according to literature, right? Because I've never had a heart attack before, and I hope to never have it, obviously, but based on literature, we're always told, you know, if your heart feels heavy, and your arm feels heavy, you know, that could be an indicator. So you kind of automatically build that connection. So when I get anxious, my arm feels a bit weak, and you kind of get a bit scared that it's something in relation to a heart attack, and then you panic a bit. And this panic makes your physical symptoms worse. And with that, you panic more. And with more panic, your symptoms get worse, and you can kind of see this circle happening, right? So the key to this is kind of breaking that circle, or at least learning to manage it and be aware that, hey, you know, you are getting anxious because of this, and cut it off before it becomes a circle. And exposure therapy is one of the ways to do that, but there are a million ways to deal with this. But exposure therapy is, for example, kind of exposing yourself to the symptoms that make you feel panicky. Expose yourself to the symptoms that make you feel panicky, to kind of show you, like, you know, these symptoms does not need to induce panic. It does not cause the thing that you think it causes. So yeah, try and break this cycle, right? So ideally, you would want to expose yourself in situations where your anxiety is most prevalent, and learning to deal with that, right? At least that's how you slowly make your anxiety better. That does not mean you go out and purposely stress yourself out all the time, but when those instances do occur, you practice this kind of mental strategy. Oh, my chair is squeaky. I apologize. Anyways, you kind of practice this way of either distracting yourself or calming yourself down when you do feel anxious, to avoid this circle, the cycle of behavior. So yeah, so if you kind of shut out your issue, whatever that may be, it doesn't have to be current events, but whatever you're anxious about, and you just kind of ignore it, the issue is still there, right? So there's only two ways around it. Either solve the issue in and of itself so that you won't get anxious by it, or learn to manage your stress when it occurs, when this situation occurs, so that when it happens again, you will already be equipped with the tools to deal with that, right? So that's why if you say you're anxious, and that's why you're cutting off news or cutting off whatever it is that you're cutting off, you're simply just ignoring the problem at the time. And sometimes it's a short-term solution, right? Then it's fine if you're aware of it. But doing this for the rest of your life, if you truly want it to be solved, you kind of have to look at it like that, right? So I saw, I think, an interview the other way of, I forgot, one of the celebrities, maybe it's Mila Kunis or some celebrity, maybe Hailey Bieber, I have no idea, I don't remember. But they basically said that oh, you know, depression, anxiety is a symptom of something else. No one just has depression or has anxiety. And I was like, yeah, no shit. At least for me, that makes sense, right? You don't just wake up one day and you're just sad or depressed or anxious. It doesn't appear out of nowhere. There's always a catalyst. Something starts it, right? So it's either an accumulation of your life events, whether you're struggling financially, for example, accumulation of things that eventually weighs down enough on you for you to feel depression and feel anxiety or anything, really. Any type of negative symptom. So that's why when I look back at when I was going through this and dealing with this, ignoring things was a temporary solution. That's how also medicine works in terms of psychiatry, right? That's how the people are always saying that, yeah, you know, the government just wants to fill up with drugs and let you go. And obviously I disagree with that. I do think that there are a lot of practitioners who are abusing the system severely. I know many people in Malaysia, for example, who have indications of depression and they're just sent home with drugs without any kind of therapy and stuff like that. The whole point of the pills is to kind of bring your symptoms down to a level where you can actually have a conversation and do something about it, right? That's the whole point. Having drugs alone does very little. It's simply shutting down the symptoms in the moment, but it does not fix the cause. And in some cases with therapy, if you are in a state where you can't think straight, it doesn't make sense to go through therapy alone either, because you're not able to comprehend the situation well enough. And that's why maybe you're prescribed medication to bring you to a level where you can think again, right? And go to that baseline level and then have a conversation to actually solve the cause. It's not for all cases. There are always exceptions, obviously. But yeah, this is just a summary of that. So it's the same thing, right? So now we're talking about non-drug intervention. And when you make these decisions, you kind of have to be aware of why you're making them and if it will be effective in the long term. Because ideally, no one wants anxiety and depression long term, right? No one wants that. It breaks you down. And many people suffer very long-term mental health issues because their causes are not addressed. And some causes take a lot longer to address than others. But being aware of the steps that you're taking in order to heal yourself is a big deal, right? So if you're cutting off, because current events are a bit stressful right now, so that's why I'm mentioning it. If you cut off current events in order to kind of heal or take the time to be one with yourself or go back to your hobbies and stuff like that, obviously it's fine, but being aware that it is a short-term solution plays a big role, because if you choose to do this for the rest of your life, then you're not really solving the cause, right? So yeah, this is why I say comic relief. So sometimes we kind of need a little break from reality. And yeah, that's where it comes in. And I think there's a little bit of a sweet spot, because I've seen some stand-ups recently who's doing that really, really well, addressing the current events, but also pointing out the ridiculousness in some of them. And that's kind of a good in-between of that. Right? Because you're still mentioning current events, but kind of in a less serious manner, which not everyone can do. A lot of people are also 0 or 100 when it comes to some of the topics, which fully justify as well. So, I think that I myself am trying to balance this line almost of trying to talk about content that is serious and actually affects people, at least, yeah, the topic does, but at the same time also finding an in-between for that, because our entire world is also not zero or 100, right? Like, so maybe some people are, like Karens, for example. I don't know how you are so angry all the time. How do you have energy for that? Oh my gosh. Some Karens are just living to be upset. I don't know. That doesn't seem like a fun life to live. And like calling the cops for the smallest things. And obviously having massive cognitive biases. That's a very nice way to put it. I meant racist and homophobes. I don't know why I try to frame it so nicely. But yeah, to live your life so hateful is... yikes. I don't know how you have the energy for that. Sometimes I look at things and I'm just done. Like, I don't want to spend any more energy on it. Yet they're still standing there being able to fight cops, sometimes fight people. I don't know how you do it. talking for about the Karens out there who are so full of hate. Yeah. So, also in the US, there is a... no, in the UK, I think there is a comic relief movement entirely where they raise money for people in need, depending on the year, depending on the cause, depending on the situation. Yeah, via comic relief, right? So via comedy and stuff like that, raise money. Because I think that some people perhaps see it as a little bit like a light at the end of the tunnel thing. Yeah. Which you can view in two ways. I think some people also seeing it as trying to see positive change and moving towards positive change via comic relief versus some people who are just, yeah, trying to make a good time and kind of ignore the actual harsh realities of, yeah, reality, I guess. It depends how you look at it, perhaps. But like I mentioned, I think it's more about being aware of what you're actually doing to yourself, right? Long term, if you actually want to make a difference or if you simply want to ignore it, and kind of understanding that implication on your mental health based on that, because some people perhaps are, you know, why, you know, the world is getting XYZ, all sorts of stuff, and they kind of feel like they're going this on this downward spiral, and yeah, I need to shut off my phone and ignore everything, because yeah, and obviously it's fine, no one's having a gun to your head, right? Like, there is no right or wrong here. You just need to really understand the cause of what you're doing first. So if you ignore it in the moment, when you come back and open your phone again or something like that and are receiving these news once again, are you going to be like, okay, here's another lap of absorbing all this news and I'll shut it off again? Or is it being aware of, you know, yeah, I'm going to temporarily shut it off, obviously still having an awareness that the reality is still ongoing, but I just need this time for myself, so I'm going to shut off. And then when I'm back, I either learn how to manage my anxiety, you don't have to change the world, but you have to understand that managing your anxiety during the event in which you are experiencing the anxiety has the most effect, right? Because that's when it's actually happening. So if you are in a freaking field full of needles, and every time you step on that field, you have a fear of stepping on a needle. Kind of ignoring that field is not gonna make it go away, especially if that field is in between you and your house, for example, which is like your ultimate happiness or whatever. You eventually have to go and pick up all these needles, right? And to clear your anxiety of potentially stepping on one. Or you can just keep stepping on it until you reach your house, but by then your foot will be completely messed up and in a severe amount of pain. I don't know where I'm going with this metaphor, to be honest. It just came to my head super randomly. But yeah, perhaps this kind of gives you a little bit of a picture of managing your anxiety a little bit. That difference of shutting it off and ignoring it versus managing it at the time. And it's okay to ignore if you are aware that you are simply ignoring, right? Not solving. I think that's the main differential point here. And it goes the same with phobias as well. Not in all cases, obviously. It's a bit more complex with phobias. But yeah, exposure therapy is used a lot in phobias as well. Oop, my cats are saying some. Yeah, so exposure therapy is used in some phobia cases as well. When you have the client slowly gets exposed to, let's say it's a spider. You slowly first expose them to a picture of a spider and then gradually increase it, and a video of a spider, then perhaps a spider in a box across the room, and perhaps that box is closer and closer. And over time, you kind of build this ladder towards, not being scared anymore. But obviously, you still have to find the cause, right? Because the cause of the actual phobia could be anything. Yeah, same thing with anxiety and depression. So being aware that you are not solving your cause, which it can be a long journey, by the way, it can be years in the making. Can take a lifetime as well for some people, but being aware of that gives you a lot of power. Being aware of the fact that, you know, I don't just have depression and anxiety, it stems from somewhere, it comes from somewhere. It doesn't just magically is born in some people and it's not. Some people are more likely to have it, but it could also be because of life circumstance and stuff like that. Yeah, it doesn't just appear out of nowhere, as perhaps some people believe. There is always a cause. So being aware of that makes a big difference. I think that not a lot of people are aware. And also, in some cases, it's a bit difficult to actually change the cause, because it could be financial problems, for example. And that's where a lot of people find comic relief, to kind of have a temporary pause from all that. But it depends how deeply rooted you want to go. If you have financial problems because of inflation and because you can't find a house, then that's political, right? And how can you solve political problems? Yeah, you actually have to participate and vote and be aware, right? That's why it's a bit of a big circle here. There's not much I can say about this. I just want to touch on, because someone brought this up to me recently when I mentioned why I wasn't, a while ago when I wasn't listening to the news, I had a lot of panic attacks, and now is the narrative changed a little bit from away from ignoring and kind of being aware that I'm ignoring, number one, and number two is also kind of looking at causation, finding that, and yeah, actually being aware of current events and managing being aware of the world and kind of managing my stress during. Because then the thing that made me have panic attacks, which is one of the reason, will become less of a reason because I will know how to manage my stress in that moment. Yeah. And I think I'm losing track of my thoughts because my cats want to play. So I will leave now. Thank you very much if you've been listening for a while now. It's episode 60, which is kind of crazy. And I hope to keep going. If there is any kind of like conversation that you want to have or comment or suggestion, yeah, you can contact me. I'm pretty sure my links are all over the place, so you can always drop an email as well, or just follow my socials, do whatever. Anyways, be kind and peace out.